Hey, Senator, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Tom. Happy Labor Day.
All right. Now, happy Labor Day to you. Now, I want to start this story. In my mind, at the beginning, wasn't the beginning. It's when you brought me into the funnel. Last Tuesday, Terry's on the air, and we're talking about her hometown tour, where she a lot of communities, and she caught me by surprise. I expected her to say something else, a long list of other things, other than what she brought up. And that was, what did people want to talk to you about? Menard Correctional Center and what's been going on with the guards and the injuries. You caught me by surprise, and apparently we've learned more since that interview last Tuesday.
Yes, we have. And, you know, Tom, there's more than just Menard. It's just Menard seems to be where everything now has come to a head, because apparently we have had drug exposures at Pinckneyville, at Big Muddy. We're hearing about multiple staff assaults in multiple institutions. And people all over the district, because, you know, I stretch river to river, Indiana to Missouri. And so multiple institutions, and it was fresh on everyone's mind.
Now, the thing is Terry's telling me about a severe injury, neck, face, with a shanking, I guess is the modern euphemism for that. And then I start making phone calls. And I'm talking to people who work in Menard, and they're telling me, yeah, it's bad here. It's been bad for about 5 or 6 months. And it's not just injuries to guards, but we have inmates self-injury, including setting themselves on fire and swallowing batteries in an attempt to be transferred out of Menard to St. Louis.
Yeah, you're right. There was a shanking incident at Lawrence where one officer was sliced from his ear down his face all the way across his neck. And in the same incident, another officer cut in the back of his neck, and a third one stabbed in his forehead. But the problem at Menard and all of these institutions is that we need scanned mail in the Department of Corrections. They're doing it in other states. They're doing it in county jails, Jackson, Jefferson, Randolph, where they scan the mail before it comes into the institution. Over and over again, I'm hearing stories about contraband coming into institutions. Primarily, it is drug contraband. It's paper that is soaked in all kinds of different sources, whether it's K2 and roach spray or fentanyl, whatever it happens to be. High percentage, I would say somewhere in the 90 to 95% could probably be ended by just scanning the mail.
All right. Now quickly before this, scanning the mail, because I had to listen back to your interview and I realized I missed it. But, mm-hmm. Wait a second. You can't scan this mail. It's my legal correspondence. And you said that. You said my legal mail, and I thought just sent legally, without drugs. But we're talking about legal correspondence.
Right. Between an attorney and their client. Other states have figured it out. It's my understanding that Indiana has a pretty good system in place and has had for several years. So in some cases, there are either county jails or states where it gets sent to, there's a specific town in New Jersey where it gets sent to like a warehouse. All of that staff is dressed in hazmat gear. They scan the mail. When I mean scan, they're actually like scanning the envelope front and back, the piece of mail itself, so the offender gets to look at their mail as if they were getting it in their hands, but they're holding a tablet. And they all have the tablets. But I'm going to tell you, Tom, the Department of Corrections is really dumbing down this whole problem, because I read an article yesterday where the reporting on this it was a radio show, I think, is acting like this is a really small incident at Menard. But what they're not telling you is there was a guard who had to be Narcan'd twice that was found unresponsive. In all of this mix, we had exposures at Menard this past Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, yesterday. It's every day. This is not a small thing, and they can't figure out what it is. I don't even care what the substance is. I want to go to the root cause of this. And the root cause is the mail needs to be scanned. And then if there's additional problems after that, we'll address those as well. But this starts at the very highest level because at the director level, there's not enough attention being put on the individuals who are being promoted into positions to guard against this kind of stuff. For God's sake, there was a party that went on Wednesday in Cesar that included two deputy directors and multiple wardens, all in the middle of a major exposure with drugs going on at Menard and a tech call out at Lawrence Correctional Center.
Right.
And they're sitting in Cesar at a going away party for an administrative staffer. I believe it was a secretary.
All right, now here's the thing. No more than I have this interview with Senator Terry Bryant joining us live this morning. And that's on Tuesday. Then I started doing more homework. And then we learn about a hazmat exposure. Now, here's the other thing, the lack of transparency, which is often used on seemingly every single press release about how open and transparent we are in the state of Illinois. And so we know there was a hazmat incident. We know a hazmat crew was called in from outside the prison, Menard. All right. We don't know what it was, but, well, see, maybe we do. But then again, maybe we don't. You went to the prison on Friday.
I did, and customarily, I would call if I just want to do a tour somewhere, and I would make some kind of appointment, and then, people from Springfield would come down, we'd all walk through the institution together. This is a totally different situation, and I would just remind everyone, I'm a 20-year veteran of the Department of Corrections. I was hazmat certified when I was in corrections, so I've been trained on the hazmat gear, plus there was PPE there. When I went to Menard, they denied me access into the facility. Now, they said it was for my own safety, but then as I'm outside talking to the chief, Chief Crum, who was sent there to investigate they were trying to make this sound like it was a carbon monoxide, which I found out later is the same thing that they did at Pinckneyville. Tried to go in and say, we're going to check for carbon monoxide. Well, for goodness sakes, Menard's heat is on, for one thing, and secondly, they have steam heat there. So I'm not really sure why they thought that they could push this off as carbon monoxide, but they refused me entrance, even though I agreed to put on PPE. And in the conversation, they told me they're not mandating staff to wear PPE. And I said, hold on, you're telling me that this is so serious that you're not going to let me in to talk to staff and offenders so that I can see my constituents and see that everything is being taken care of. You're telling me it's too dangerous for me to go in willing to wear PPE or hazmat material, but you're not mandating the staff to do that? Something stinks here. It's not carbon monoxide.
You know, it's interesting because I was reading some of the information published stories. I now remember them saying, we're making PPE available, I think was the term they used. Now that makes sense to me. But the fact is, carbon monoxide, or was it a fentanyl exposure from a piece of mail? That seems to be our two biggest contenders, correct?
It does. I mean, there is a lot of synthetic drugs, like, say, K2, which they're kind of, the County Journal reported that Corrections said that it may be a mixture of K2 and roach spray. As crazy as that sounds on the streets, if there's a will, there's a way to find a mixture. These synthetic drugs, though, all you have to do is change one small component, and then they don't catch it on the regular testing. So it has to be stopped before it comes into the institution. And maybe scanning mail is not the end-all to beat-all, but it certainly is a good place to start. And Department of Corrections' mantra that they can't do it, that is BS, because other states and Randolph County is doing it. The county jail in the county, in the town that Menard sits in. So I'm tired of hearing their excuses. Governor Pritzker needs to get involved. He needs a different director, and somebody really needs to look at who these deputy directors are and what they're doing, because it is inexcusable to have such major things going on around the state, and they're, instead of being on the job, which is where they should have been, and again, I'm talking through my 20 years of experience, I didn't even mention the fact that in the middle of all of this week, there was a death at Western Correctional Center, a death that is suspicious, where they had a lifer celled with someone who was a parole violator sent back to that facility, celled in the same cell. That is inexcusable as well. So who is running these institutions?
All right, now,
because it is not being run from the top.
You know, there's a lot of interesting questions that come to play. Here's one that just came in from one of our listeners that's worthy of note. What can employees and family do about the situation at the Department of Corrections? This comes from Sheila on the American Monument text line.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you, here's the problem, is people who work in, who are actively working, they're afraid to talk. And they're afraid to talk because in the administrative directive, there is a charge called standards of conduct. And if you are talking to someone, if you're a correctional officer, a food supervisor, or an administrative assistant, and you're talking to anybody outside the facility or bringing documents out, you can be fired for that. At one point, I had to have a come to Jesus with the Department of Corrections because someone tried to discipline a staff member for talking to me as their senator. We got that straightened out really quick. There is a time and a place to start talking, and it's now. People need to be, like, I get lots of phone calls. I get documents, and I have lots of documents, believe me, on all of these staff assaults, and I'm going to make those available probably tomorrow. And the problem is everyone says, please don't use my name. Please don't use my name. I get that. And I'm not going to use people's names. But at some point, people have to step up and they have to say, through the governor's office, help us. Because the people that he has in place right now, and that's the deputy, that's the director, Director Hughes, that goes over to Cato. Cato is supposed to be handling all of the operations. It goes to the chief of investigations and all the way down the line to these deputy directors. That I believe most of the wardens in Southern Illinois are trying to do their job. There's a couple good assistant wardens at Menard. They're not being allowed to really do their job.
I've got another point of view, and this comes from a recent conversation, not recent, but I've had it more than once, I guess, with an SIU management professor. And he was, you know, we were talking about, you know, a lot of businesses need employees. The Department of Corrections is no different. And, you know, and he says, you know, we talk about new employees, but the first thing you should do is, if you're understaffed, is do everything you can to keep the people you have. And when people, Department of Corrections, employees are working in these conditions, they look to leave at a time where you really can't afford that. So, I mean, from a management standpoint, you got to circle your wagons around your people that have been with you for a long time. And I mean, for the years that I lived in Murfreesboro and all the friends that I had that worked at Menard, you know, it was such an important part of the economy. And, you know, good, dependable jobs, tough job, sure. But, you know, if you've got to protect your people if you want to keep them.
Well, that and this administration and the previous administration, so I would go all the way back into the Rauner administration, they were not promoting people who had worked their butts off all their lives, get those promotions into positions because they love the agency. They love what they do. I'm one of those people. I would never have quit the Department of Corrections for anything other than getting elected. And I would have completed my career there. But I will not let either of my children go to work for the Department of Corrections. I have a son right now who's an auxiliary police officer in Murfreesboro and security for marijuana distribution. He's the perfect kind of guy that Corrections would be looking for, but he will not go to work for Corrections. This mother will not allow it. One of the problems that we have is safety within the facilities. It's not just safety for the staff. It's safety for the offenders. There are people here who have been seriously affected, and it looks like they're going to have some effects that are continuing. They've been denied workers' comp packages. They're being denied workers' comp. On Monday, there were a couple of them that were denied toxicology. The hospital told them, the DOC said, inmates only being tested for toxicology, not staff. Now, Wednesday, that changed. So somebody got a little bit of common sense. But we also have the issue of Tier 2 retirement. You cannot work in the Department of Corrections until you're 67 years old as a correctional officer. It's insane. And I understand that we need to get our pension system under control, but making people in corrections and mental health work till they're 67 years old is ludicrous.
All right. Now, before I let you go, we also talked about SIU School of Aviation. You had meetings planned the end of last week, if not earlier, midweek, on that issue of whether there would be an aviation school opened at SIU, when a lot of people are going, what? didn't know anything about it, including, as I was told, the Board of Trustees. Can you update us on that meeting? Was there anything new that developed from that?
I can. The entire Southern Illinois delegation, Senator Fowler, Representatives Freeze, Windhorst, Jacobs, and then we were keeping Severin updated while it was all going on as well. Apparently, the chairman of the board, Phil Gilbert, was in the loop. That gave me a little bit of peace because I really trust Phil's leadership there. It looks like what they would like to do is expand by having one airplane at the Springfield Airport and some part-time instructors. They would start out with maybe five students there. Our pushback was basically, if you're going to expand the school, expand it right here in Carbondale. So we offered several suggestions, things like letting them start 2 years in Springfield but having to finish in Carbondale. But I think we made very clear to them that none of us appreciated being left out of the loop. We have oversight responsibilities for universities, for prisons, for mental health facilities. We have a responsibility not just to our constituents, but also budgetarily. When universities this year were cut by a tremendous amount of money, even though Governor Pritzker says they gave 2% to all universities, the fact is they cut line items. So SIU got a 12% cut, not a 2% increase. So overall, 10% cut. Wanted to know where the money's coming from and so forth. So if they want to do this, it's now out in the open. I think they're going to have to explain to us where the money's going to come from. And I think it's going to, they got loud and clear that we don't want anything to be done on the down low, that has to be open and transparent.
You know,
so we'll see where this goes.
You know what I find interesting is 12% cut, but just before we learned about that, that everybody got a raise in admin, and I'm talking about Mahoney and Lane, and there are pretty hefty increases there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's happening. I think the foundation has stepped in to help with some of that. I'm not clear yet how all that is going, but I don't want to be a micromanager. That's not my role. But my role is to make sure that everything is transparent. So when people do call me and say, what is going on, I shouldn't have to say, hold up, let me find out. I should have already known. When it's my fault that I don't know, I'll own up to that. But in this case, things were not transparent. The folks that we did talk to, the administration, they were quite apologetic about that and have assured us that will not happen again. I'm going to take them at their word. So we expect to get updates on this periodically, and we expect them to update everybody who, you know, businesses around this region, where it's symbiotic. The city of Carbondale, all the businesses in this region, and a lot of regional interests besides just small businesses are included in this. So goes SIUC, so goes this region.
Senator Terry Bryant.